You know, we really would all be in some kind of big trouble. We'd be in some kind of mess had Jesus decided to throw away the clay. None of us would be here today. None of us would be Christians. None of us would have the assurance that we can spend eternity in heaven. We would all automatically be doomed to an eternal hell had Jesus thrown that clay away. Hello again. And let me welcome you one more time to Bethel United Methodist Church. What a privilege and an honor it is for me, Karen Lee Alford, to have been introduced as your pastor. As I have expressed several times in the meetings that we've already had with the church committees and leaders, that I want to be someone that you feel free to call on. I want to be someone that you can rely on to respond to your needs, whether it be a time that you may need comfort in your life or guidance or instruction. Whatever it is that you need, whether it be prayer or whatever that falls into the role of being your pastor, I want to be that. I don't care what you call me this morning, whether you call me Karen or Karen Lee or Pastor Karen or Preacher Lady or whatever you call me, it's fine. I just want you to feel free, by all means, to call me if you have a need. You have the advantage this morning. You all know my name. You know I'm Karen. You know I'm the new pastor. But in the upcoming weeks and days, I hope that we all know each other on a first name basis, and that we can develop this loving and trusting relationship that comes with being a part of the body of Christ. What could I say about myself this morning or my family other than we're just overwhelmed, we're overjoyed to be here, to be a part of this church. I was raised in Chattahoochee, where my husband Daniel and I have lived for the past 45 years. I was raised Pentecostal. He was raised Baptist, but he overcame that. We have one daughter and one son-in-law, Dana and Mark Montaneri, who are with us today. I have two grandchildren, my granddaughter and her son are here with us today. Where's Ricky? He's working. Okay. He better have a good excuse. And I have a great grandson back there who some of you have already seen on a previous Sunday here at Bethel. We won't go into that. In addition to my family, I have some of the dearest friends here today that anybody could ever hope to have. Some of them you know. Here's Trixie and Woody Woodall back there that used to be members here until they moved to Quincy. And it's such an honor and a blessing to have them here with us. Yes. I forgot about that. They have their grandson with them today also. Betsy Wood, a longtime dear friend from Chattahoochee. And a dear lady that I probably would not be in ministry today had it not been for my former pastor, Sarah Walker. She has inspired me. She has stood by me. She's prayed for me. We've prayed together. We've cried together. And God has just blessed me to have such a friend. And I need all of these friends. They are part of the body of Christ. It was a little over a year ago that our district superintendent, Reverend Dr. Gibbs, called me and said that he planned to give me a church sometime just before conference, but he wasn't really sure yet which one it would be, but that he did plan to appoint me to a church. Well, I was beside myself. I had just entered the candidacy program, and I thought, well, I've got plenty of time. And I realized I didn't have much time at all. I had to get my ducks all in a row and get everything planned out before conference time. That meant that I had to go to licensing school and become licensed before I could pastor a church. And there was just so many hurdles that I felt like that I had to overcome. But I did it. It was during this period of time that our granddaughter moved to the southeast side of town. And every time that Daniel and I would come over here to visit Amanda, we would look for a shortcut to get from Highway 90 down past Southwood. We finally figured out there is no shortcut. But that did not stop us from looking. We would come up here several times and went down, I think it's Anon Church Road. We went down that road. And then one day we saw this sign out here that says Bethel Church Road. And I had seen the sign before but had never paid attention to it. So we cut through here and went down Bethel Church Road. And here's a sign that says Bethel United Methodist Church. And I looked at Daniel and I said, hey, that looks just like the kind of church that God wants me to have. And we went on. We did stop and pray for the church and for the people here. And I didn't think anything else about it for the remainder of the year. And then one day, Reverend Gibbs called. I answered the phone. He says, hey, I think I have you a church. Are you familiar with Tallahassee Bethel? Well, folks, I fell apart. I couldn't talk to the man till I got through crying. I said, oh, yes, sir, I'm very familiar with it. I've prayed for those people. We went by there, and I saw the church. And I said, that looks just like the kind of church God wants me to have. So guess what, people? Here I am. I feel that I am where God wants me to be. And I feel that you are where God wants you to be, or you would not be here today. When we drove by this church that day, we prayed for the church. And I wouldn't even begin to guess, since Reverend Gibbs' phone call, how many times that we have made it our business to come by here since we found out that this was going to be our home church. That we would come by here and we would pray for the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about just the building. I'm talking about you, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. We prayed for you. And then after I had my first meeting with the SPRC committee and some of the trustees, I got this little thing called a directory. And it has your pictures in it. Now I could pray for you on an individual basis. I could call each of you by name and say, God bless Don and Pat, bless all of these people that their picture and their name is in this directory. We have been praying for you, for this church. And we fully believe that it is God's will for this body of Christ to grow and to prosper. I call you the church today because in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that's what the Apostle Paul called you. He called you the church, the body of Christ. My text today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. And this reading is from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the Spirit, for in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, would that make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would that not make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In our scripture today, the Apostle Paul is discussing the importance of church teamwork. If you get FSU's football team out there and get them to play in ball, one man can't do it, although he might think he can. But it takes that whole team, it takes every one of them working together to play ball. And the Apostle Paul is telling us in our scripture today that it takes every single one of us as Christians to be a part of the body of Christ. We all admit that when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we do this on an individual basis. I can't get saved for Daniel. Daniel can't get saved for me. It's something that we have to do on our own. It's a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. But after we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the focus needs to change. It needs to go from being about me and my salvation to being on the health and the unity and the well-being of the whole body of Christ, the whole church. The Apostle Paul also stresses that everybody, every single person is somebody because we're all in this Christian walk together. We can't do it by ourselves. The Apostle Paul says that there are three things that we need to consider when we're considering the body of Christ. Paul says that every member of the body or the church is essential. Every single one of you are important. He calls our attention to the eyes and the ears and the nose. This body or this group of Christians just like your physical body, is composed of a group of different bones, different body parts, different organs, different tissues. We're all different. But Paul emphasizes the importance of unity or oneness in the faith, in the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." As Christians, we're all the same. Every one of us are sinners saved by grace. We all have different gifts, we all have different talents, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ who saves us and causes us to all be the same, to be united as one body. The world has a tendency to look on people as being different. I'm different from Sarah. I'm different from Daniel. I'm different from my daughter Dana. We're all different. We all have different talents. There is no way, and you better thank God, that I would ever attempt to sing. God did not call me to sing. You are blessed, whether you know it or not, that I'm your preacher and not your singer. Now wait a minute. I like amens, but this is carrying it too far. Although we are different, no one person is of any greater or any lesser value than another person. We are all important in the sight of God. If you keep reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you will see that the members who were treated with lesser honor by the church should be clothed with greater honor. And those with less respect in the world should be treated with more respect by the church, thereby causing each member, each person, to be equal in the body of Christ. The second thing that the Apostle Paul says is, do not underestimate your importance to the body of Christ. Paul talked about the foot and the ear. And when studying this scripture, I was reminded of a song that Daniel used to sing when he was singing with the gospel quartet, a song called Dry Bones, something or another about the thigh bones connected to the leg bones connected to the hip. Well, y'all get the picture. Like I said, you don't want me to sing. But you get the idea. In the same way, every one of us are connected. The pastor is connected to the choir director, to the janitor, to the musicians, to the person that takes up the offering, to the person that mows the yard. Every single one of us is connected in one way or another. The person that operates the sound system is connected. We are all part of the body of Christ. Everyone is somebody because we're in this ministry together. I'm not in this thing by myself. I've got to have you. I depend on each one of you. So everybody's important. And everybody is somebody because of this ministry that God has called us all into. Each of us are to be a functioning member in the body of Christ. Do you think for one minute that the Lord would have placed an unnecessary part or member in the body? No. No way. Why would He? as functioning members of the body of Christ, we are to exist for three things: to worship God and to be fed the Word of God. I'm reminded of the story of a little girl, 6 years old, that her parents took her to the store one day and they bought her a fish. On the way home with this fish, little girl says, "You know, the fish's name is Sparingly." Parents said, "Sparingly? How do you know?" She says, "Well, it says here on this box, feed sparingly 3 times a day. So, being in church regularly, not sparingly, but regularly, as much as possible, and being fed regularly the Word of God, that's something that doesn't need to be done sparingly. We don't need to be fed when we feel like it, but we need to abide in the Word of God and trust in God. And we can't do that adequately without being in the Word. We're to have fellowship with other Christians. We're to serve other people. That's what being a disciple of Christ is all about. It's about serving the needs and meeting the needs of the people in the community. When you do all three of these things, I feel like that possibly we have just learned the first major lesson in Christianity 101. As Christians today, let us take just a closer look at what Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians. It seems that there was a division in the church, and some of the people were getting a little bit out of shape because some of the people were in the limelight all the time and they were getting recognized for their accomplishments in the community. We'll call these people the hand. Then there was these other people that they just worked their fingers to the bone but never got recognized for anything that they did. Have you ever noticed your feet? Have you noticed my feet today? No, of course not. It's down near the floor. And of course my feet and my head are closer together than a lot of people's, but they're down there. It's partially hidden by my robe. It's partially hidden by my shoe. But that foot is stuck in a shoe, and it goes unnoticed. Have you ever noticed in a business meeting that the person in charge of the meeting will say, "Okay, everybody in favor, raise your hand." And they raise his hand. Nobody ever says, "Okay, everybody in favor, raise your foot." It just doesn't work that way. It's always a hand that's out there in the front, out there in the limelight, if you will. But you know the foot's important. Because if it wasn't for that foot down there, stuck and hidden back in that shoe, how would these hands get to the place that they needed to be? That foot needs that hand, and that hand needs that foot. It takes both of them working together to accomplish anything. So, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're a hand, you're a foot, or whatever you are. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, Paul says, "I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has a particular gift from God, one having one kind of gift and another having another kind." In Ephesians 4:8, tells us that Jesus gave gifts to his people. This is a promise from God, not just to the hand or to the foot or to the other members of the body, but it's a promise to the whole body of Christ. I want you to be aware of one thing this morning. Things can change. Things will change. You may be a foot this morning. You may be a hand tomorrow. In my own ministry for many, many years, Daniel sang in a gospel group. He led the singing in church. And when Dana got old enough, she joined him and she began to sing. They were out in the front. They were in the limelight. They were the hand. They were constantly trying to improve their sound, their singing, everything, so that whenever they presented the Word of God in song, it was the very best that they could possibly do. But then one day, something happened. Things changed. Due to health problems, Daniel had to back up a little bit. He wasn't physically able to continue being the hand and doing what the hand does. Shortly after he had to back up, I answered the call of God into the ministry. And here I am today. I'm not a foot. Now I'm trying to learn how to be a hand, because I'm up here presenting the Word of God. The third thing that Paul emphasized was a covenant relationship. I like the sound of that. Whenever you get married, you enter into a covenant relationship with the person that you're marrying. Whenever we totally submit ourselves to Christ, he puts his seal of approval on us. When we accept him as our personal Savior, we enter into an agreement or covenant with him that we will put him first and allow him to lead and direct us. Just as the Israelites had entered into this covenant relationship with God, God led them as long as they put their faith and their trust in him. We commit our soul, our mind, and our body to Christ, and he forms a seal with us. We're bound by the seal of his blood. But it's strange that we often forget about the covenant that we have with him. He never forgets it. He's got a perfect memory. He never forgets anything. But we often forget and break that seal. I'm reminded of the story of a little boy named Bobby that asked his mama, "Mama, can I have some animal crackers?" She says, "Yeah, sure. Just open up the box and take a few." 45 minutes later, she goes into the kitchen and there's Bobby. "Why did you spill all those crackers out all over everywhere? There's animal crackers all over everywhere. What are you looking for?" Bobby says, "Well, it said on the box not to eat if the seal was broken. And I spilled out the whole box and I've been looking for a seal and I hadn't found one yet." So we need to keep in mind whenever we're thinking about this covenant relationship, we need to be aware that we do not break that seal that we have with Jesus Christ. It's not a seal that's going to be found in a box of animal crackers. It's a seal in blood. As long as the children of Israel worshiped Jehovah God and they put him first, God protected them. And he blessed them. But when they worshiped other gods or they broke that seal, he withdrew his protection. When they repented, God was right there to welcome them back with open arms into the fold. As we prepare today to partake of Holy Communion, we're all important. We are all necessary to the ministry of the church. We're necessary to the body of Christ. To the world, you may be only one person, but to one person, you may be the world. That's so important. Somebody told me that these very words the other day, and it has meant everything to me, because we have to conduct ourselves in a manner, being led by the Holy Spirit, that one person that we may be the world to, if we take our eyes off of Christ, they may not see Christ in us. You are essential as long as you covenant with God to have His Son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. Let us renew our covenant with God and enter into a relationship as the body of Christ today. If you would, turn with me in page 12 of the Red United Methodist Hymnal to Word and Table 2. Page 12.